It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It is rare, BT, for players to live up to the hype. And there was a ton of hype when the Yankees made the aggressive, brilliant move going to trade for Juan Soto. And he's come in here, and he's been even better than the highest of expectations. You want to throw an Aaron Judge there, too. The combination of the two living up to all the expectations, exceeding all the expectations. But back to Soto for a second. Obviously, the three home runs last night. And he's going to have a career year. I didn't even realize that Soto's only had two seasons prior to this one that he's had 30 home runs or more. So he's going to break that. He's now at, what, 33? His career high is 35. But the Yankees deserve a ton of credit for making that aggressive move. And I think a lot of it, a lot of the, not, maybe not joy, because I do think Yankee fans are enjoying it to a certain extent, but a lot of the celebration that would have taken place had this been a long-term deal was taken away because he's, in fact, a free agent. He's going to be a free agent. He's in his walk year. And there's the thought of potentially losing him. But the Yankees do have Juan Soto right now. He is producing at a ridiculous level. And then the part that really is the most important part, they have to keep him. The New York Yankees are not in a position where they could let Juan Soto go and survive. I'm sorry, they can't. He's been so good, so great. He's backing them into a corner that whatever the ridiculous price may be, they have to pay it to retain Juan Soto.
Listen, I think that Yankee fans, I can only speak for myself, but I from what I hear, from what I gather, I think Yankee fans are supremely confident that they will. Now, what
could be arrogance, though, blind arrogance.
Maybe. I mean, it could be a little bit of that. I just think when you look at the experience so far, and not that you can necessarily quantify vibe, but for lack of a better description, I mean, the vibe that Juan Soto was emitting so far here has been, looks like he just, I mean, why would you want to leave? But again, somebody could coerce him. Somebody else could coerce him to leave if there's some crazy, irresponsible offer. Although I do think he stays here. So I don't disagree with your premise that, you know, that he should stay and that the Yankees need to. I don't know about that. And I don't even really care about the less money. Well, I'm not saying it's not important. Listen,
they didn't offer Judge the most money. So this is a track record. This is not, oh my God, maybe the Yankees might lose somebody. It's, hey, the Yankees have not operated. They keep talking about the luxury tax. They offered Judge less money.
I haven't heard them say it in a while.
Well,
they're saying it every day. What are they saying?
They said it for years. They even said it this year. They even said it as it pertains to Soto. Like, Hal has said it. The Yankees have talked about that. It shouldn't be a thing with them when it comes to retaining Juan Soto.
I don't think it will be with him. Right. Now, again, there's other limitations. You know, do I think they could have done more at the trade deadline? Sure, especially now with Chisholm out. I mean, you kind of see it's like back to the bare bones roster. Mm-hmm. He injected so much athleticism. Hopefully, he's not out for a while. Then you kind of get back. You remember, like, outside of Soto and Judge, like what this team was for 5 or 6 weeks, because it's not a really, really good roster. Listen, I think this is a very interesting thing to wait. I look at it this way with the Yankees. So they're going to win 100 games, 98 games, whatever it is, and we'll see what happens in October. Hopefully it's a long run and it's fun, right? But we sit here for a team that's on the precipice of winning high 90s, 100-ish wins. And next year, like, because this ties into Soto and his future, we still don't know who their first baseman is. We don't know who their second baseman is. We assume that Chisholm will be a third baseman, although you never know. He can move to the outfield at some point if you lose Soto, whatever. I believe Wells is the catcher, so I believe that that's been solidified. You don't necessarily know who's playing left field because Verdugo's a free agent. And you don't know, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Dominguez, but until it gets up here, you don't know for sure. You don't know who the closer's going to be, and you probably don't know at least, I mean, conservatively speaking, 20 to 40% of the starting rotation. So I say this because, yeah, Sal's not wrong. Of course, the Yankees need to do everything possible. It's a central casting. He's 25. He's a lefty. He's amazing. He just looks like he was born to wear pinstripes. Keep him. But if they didn't, and I want to be clear, they need to keep him. But I want to push back and say, even if they were, if they failed to keep him, I think that there's still a way to be really good.
Yeah, but that's...
With that money.
Oh, okay, maybe you could build a decent team. Like, you don't need superstars to have a good team. You can't do that to the fans. There's no way the fans, after tasting this greatness, as McMonagle always tweets, and I love when he does it, Juan Soto is a Yankee. He might not be at the end of the year, but he is a Yankee right now. And after experiencing
that... What does that mean?
That,
he is a Yankee? Of course he's a Yankee. Well, I don't know what that means.
Meaning like...
Enjoy it now?
Yeah.
All right.
Because people will talk about, like, myself, whatever, talking about Juan Soto's going to leave.
I got you.
Well, right now he is a Yankee.
That's
Yankee
right.
fans are enjoying every second of it, as they should be.
Yeah.
This is historic.
It's fun.
This is remarkable. It's great.
It's amazing.
It is fun. Your team went out there and made a big move and delivered a superstar. He's living up to the hype in year one in New York. Like, this doesn't happen. It should not go overlooked. And I do think it does to a certain extent, even with Judge, just because we take it for granted. Like, yeah, they're great. All right, they matched a couple of homers again. But the Yankees are, you know, still maybe not clicking on all cylinders. They still have some flaws, which they do. But if you just sit and appreciate the greatness of what Juan Soto is doing in this year, there's no way. I'm not talking about can't build a good team years beyond, you know, next year. I'm talking about you cannot lose this guy and do that to the fan base. It just can't happen. The New York Yankees of all teams can't let it happen. And it is a possibility because he's still not signed.
Yeah, well, he was never going to sign during the year.
They hoped that he would.
Talked
about it.
I know. Of course, you entertain that, like, internally. Like, you're probably, I'm going to put myself in house shoes for a moment. Hey, let's get him in here. He's going to love the culture, and he's going to be so deeply ingrained in what we're trying to do and feel what we're trying to do that maybe he will be receptive and amenable to an in-season deal, even though it's Scott Boras. Like, I can see why he would think that for a second, but I don't think that, like, really, like, on the deepest level of conviction that they thought that would happen. They knew that this thing was going to be pushed into after the World Series, and like I've always said, and eventually we'll get the answer. There will be nothing nebulous about this. There will be a scoreboard. The Yankees will either come correct or the Yankees will not. And I fully believe that they will. I have no doubts that they will.
Right, but they have to.
Yeah, I know. I'm not disagreeing with that.
And every home run that this guy hits, every time he takes the field, the price goes up.
That's right.
And he honestly, BT, he's pricing himself out of the Yankees.
No, he's not.
Yes,
stop.
He is.
That sounds absolutely ridiculous. No, pricing himself out of the Yankees.
Because, we had Brian Cashman on flat out. Like, they know that this is going to be a ridiculous price.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure that they can go to those extents.
Let me ask you this, Al. When
For Aaron Judge. You think they're going to do it for Juan Soto?
Way more? Well, when they made the trade for Soto, don't you think, now maybe the numbers change to your point.
Yeah.
But don't you think that it was already baked into their future finances. Hey, we're giving up X, Y, and forget about Higashioka, but Michael King, the other pieces. We're giving up these pieces that we value.
Yeah.
We are compromising the depth of our organizational pitching to get him here. Don't you think that they said, all right, we got X, Y, and Z earmarked for Juan Soto. We'll deal with that when we need to, and we're going to retain him.
Maybe.
You don't think that they did that?
Maybe, but
Of course they did that.
In season, well, how do they know what the price is going to be?
But they don't, but you estimate.
Okay. Well, how do you know? What was the estimate? What do you think it is?
I've always thought it was around 550.
Okay, and what
that's
do you think it is now?
I still think it's around there.
I've heard the same thing
maybe
from people.
Six.
People for years, they think they know, and they have no idea.
Well, I definitely know. You asked me what I think. I think about 550.
I'm not even saying you.
Six.
I'm saying like experts, people who cover the sport and that talk to agents and all that stuff, they get it wrong every year. Every offseason, they underestimate the contracts. And I think that five is a fair number. You do the math. You project, 15 years, whatever it may be, because of his age. And it's always more. And then there's going to be one rogue team. Who the hell knows who that could be? Could it be the Dodgers? Could it be the Nationals?
Seattle with Cano.
Yeah, whatever, right?
I understand that could happen.
That's a great idea. So you could think, or we could think, well, five, maybe six. Maybe it's more. And I'm not so sure. Now, look, the Yankees do have the resources, but I'm just going based off of their actions and what they have said. They did not have the highest offer for Aaron Judge. Fact. That's a fact. That's not Sal's opinion. That's a fact. Aaron Judge was offered more money to go elsewhere. Another fact, Hal keeps talking about the luxury tax threshold. So to your point, let's say the Yankees don't get to the World Series. Soto and Judge have MVP years.
Yep.
Yankees don't get to the World Series. They still need to build out a team.
100%.
How are you going to do that if you have to pay Juan Soto $700 million when you're talking about the luxury tax threshold?
Yeah, well, I mean, There's a couple of things there. I think, you know, what the Yankees say and what the Yankees do, I think are a little different, and I think it's a little misleading, to be fair to the Yankees. Like, yeah, I know that they've leaned on the luxury tax, and we owe this to the city, and I've got a board of trustees to answer to. Nobody wants to hear that. So when Hal says that, it bothers us. However, the reality is the Yankees have the second highest payroll in baseball. All right, so, and they print money, number one. And I don't think, really, you know, the Judge thing, I hear you, and it will be different with Soto, because I don't think he'll leave money on the table. But when you say that another team, and you've said that a lot,
right,
that another team had a higher offer for Aaron Judge, my response is, yeah, but he loves the Yankees so much he took the lower offer. Like, that's not a knock on the Yankees. That's a compliment when you say that.
Correct, but Judge was a homegrown
Yankee. Yeah, no, I'm going to give you that. It's going to be a little different with Soto.
And by the way, the point is that the Yankees used to never get outbid. They got outbid for one of the greatest Yankees of all time. They were fortunate that he wanted to be here. They're not going to be that fortunate, at least I don't think, with Juan Soto, based on Soto, based on his agent, based on his actions. That's why I flat out asked Brian Cashman, do you think you're going to have to get Juan Soto on a discount, or are you going to have the highest offer for Juan Soto? He didn't have an answer. They don't know what it's going to be. Even Yamamoto, they wanted him, but they wanted him at a certain price. Is that going to be the case with Soto? For me, it's got to be a blank check situation.
I think it is. I really do.
And then when you do that, and they have to think, BT, think about what this would mean. And I'm not disagreeing with you in the, well, they could build a team without Juan Soto. Yeah, of course. Like, other teams have been successful without having Juan Soto or a superstar. However, this is New York. This is the Yankees. You're having this type of year.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what this town would be like if Juan Soto left in free agency to go elsewhere. You think it's bad what Cashman and Boone and everybody else and Hal has felt over the last few years without winning a World Series? Dude, it would be another level. It would be anarchy.
Yeah. It would be anarchy from within the Yankee fan base, provided the offer was light. If the offer's the same and he wants to go hang out with palm trees again, what are you going to do? How do you blame the game? Like, I understand it. It can't. I get it. He's got to stay. Mm. A central casting. Lefty. I mean, Judge Soto. It has to remain this way. You know, Judge is a little bit older, but Soto's got to be here for the next 12, 13 years and get retired as a Yankee and go to Cooperstown as a Yankee. Like, that has to happen. But let's at least delineate between, like, what the Yankees can control and what they can't. What they can't control is providing
the best offer.
Well, start even before that. Provide an appealing backdrop for him to want to stay.
We'll say done.
Check.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, a vibrant scene.
First, going out and getting him.
True.
That shows guts that other teams didn't do. Teams didn't have the guts, didn't have the wherewithal. Cashman forward thinking, let's get him in here now. I don't care what it takes to get
him. Show him the love.
Get him here now.
See what it's all about. Right. Get Judge behind him. Check. Right. I mean, so all these things, you know, win a ton of games. Check. Now, what you can, and the other thing that you're going to have to control is what you write on that check. I get that. But and I think that they will. But if the numbers are the same, and he goes to the Dodgers, he's not going there, but goes to the Angels. Forget about you. Say he doesn't care about winning. Artie Moreno's like, you know what? Trout's on his last leg.
Yeah.
I lost Shohei Ohtani. Here's $900 million. Yeah. Boom. He bolts to the Angels, right? And the Yankees' offer is comparable or right there. Are we going to land-base the Yankees?
No way. But I think the key is the Yankees have to have the highest offer. So let's just say in that ridiculous hypothetical, and by the way, it might not even be
I don't
ridiculous.
Think that's ridiculous. Yeah, well, I think Artie Moreno's, million. Well, not the number's ridiculous.
Hey, we don't know. Who knows? And maybe maybe that's what it would take for a team like the Angels to land him. Who the hell knows? I mean, maybe we see something historic, a 20-year deal. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but you don't know.
With the deferments, you never do know. That's true.
Even if we reel it in a little bit and give a more realistic, let's say, 800, but the Yankees aren't willing to match that. Like, it can't be a Yamamoto situation. It can't be a Judge situation. This is different. They have something special here. I think they know that, but they're also hoping that Soto feels that he has something special. That's just how bottom line is, we could assume or think how it's going to go.
Yeah.
The New York Yankees made the great move of getting Juan Soto here. He has produced and then some. They cannot let this guy go. And it's even scary to think that he's not locked up now. This usually doesn't happen.
Just a couple things, just aside for the contract for a second. You know, he is... It's very rare that, you know, I'm sure others go through this, but I feel like, especially with baseball, I kind of know how good a player is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying like I can identify a prospect right. and say he's going to be a star and he is. Like, we all swing and miss with that. I'm talking about like an established star. You kind of know who he is. He is better than I thought.
Dude.
I mean, in the last 2-3 years, think about, for something that rarely happens for me, like where I underrate a superstar, think about Jalen Brunson, who wasn't right. a superstar when he got here, right. but think about how we thought mm-hmm. one thing and he became this. And think about what we thought about Soto, which was even higher, and he's even higher, he's this. Like, to hit an, just from a baseball perspective, Sal, to hit a baseball the opposite way, 110 miles per hour. Look at this microphone. So when you hit, like, as right. you're swinging as a lefty, right? You're hitting the inside of the ball.
Right.
You have to. I mean, unless you get around it, then you roll it over to second mm-hmm. base. You're hitting the inside of the ball, which is kind of like a golf ball. That's how you get a slice. It's going to create a reverse spin, so it's going to tail toward the left field line. I know that's a little geeky, but I say that, and it's true. I say that because this man hits 110-mile-per-hour balls the opposite way, and they even said it last, I think it was Flaherty. He said it, he's right. When he hits a ball the other way, it's like somebody pulled it.
Yeah.
There's no leak. There's no, like,
he squares them up and hammers
them. It is just a laser.
Now, he has been, I loved Juan Soto was the postseason in 2019.
Yep.
It was just the most impressive thing that I'd ever seen. I loved it. And the most impressive thing to me about him this year is, and we knew this coming in, like we talked about, oh, will the short porch be tempting? And no. Because he knows who he is as a hitter. He's going to hammer balls to the opposite way. He's going to pull balls, of course, down the line, whatever it may be, but he's not going to change who he is. Think about what we are witnessing in the first year in New York to be a Yankee under the pressure, a walk year, Judge right there with you. I don't think that takes away pressure. I think that adds pressure. Soto had a lot of expectations to live up to. Think about what he's done. Like, Piazza didn't do this. You know, whoever, Beltran.
Reggie didn't do this.
Yes, yeah, right. Think about the top
A-Rod,
stars.
A-Rod kind of did. A-Rod did. He won a couple MVPs,
yeah,
man. I mean, A-Rod
also
did.
Cheating.
No, I know, for sure.
But he's able to come in here and deal with all those things. New York City, being a Yankee, living up to the extreme hype, the 1-2 tandem, in a walk year looking to get significant bank.
Yeah.
And he has freaking delivered. It has been unbelievable. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Sherrod is calling from South Brunswick. What's up, Sherrod?
What's going on, fellas? First of all, I love the show. You guys are top-notch. BT, you're hilarious and style. My man, let's go real quick. Let me just say real quick. I understand what you're saying about pay cuts and, well, you know, Aaron Judge took less money to stay with the Yankees or they got overbid. My whole thing is this. Did we not know that Hal spoke to Aaron? Hal was up in, Lake Como, yeah. Italy or something like that, mm-hmm. hanging out with his boys. Calls up Aaron, has Aaron get in touch with, however it goes, says, Aaron, what's your number? I know the Giants are doing this. I know this team is doing that. What is your number? Aaron gave him the number. Hal signed that check. He's here. It's going to be the same thing with Soto. Soto, listen, I know the Dodgers are coming. I know Cohen's coming. I know everybody's coming. What is your number? And when he gives him that number, he's going to get it. He's going
to
get it.
He has to.
As a Yankee fan, I have no doubt.
Yeah. Well, how do you have no doubt? I mean, did they get Yamamoto who they wanted?
Because history has shown us that.
Hold on a second. Did the Yankees want Yamamoto?
They wanted Yamamoto.
Okay, did they get him?
Did Yamamoto want them?
Did they get him? Did the Yankees want him? Did they make him the highest offer?
They did not.
They did not. That's a fact.
That's partially wrong.
Cohen jumped through hoops. He traveled the world and still didn't get him.
Who?
Cohen. I mean,
we're not talking about Cohen. We're talking about the Yankees.
All to himself.
Talking about the Yankees.
All to himself. He did not want here.
That's fair. Fair enough. But the Yankees didn't have the highest offer. But he didn't want here. I agree. So Judge also wasn't offered the most money from the Yankees, but he did want here. So now
he wanted here because he tasted it.
Right. Okay. But you don't know, Sherrod. You don't know. I don't either. You don't know what Juan Soto wants. And thank you for the call. You can't just assume because you're a Yankee fan and you think Juan Soto's going to do the same thing Aaron Judge did. If you go based off of the current actions and facts, it would indicate that Juan Soto's going to want the most money. And there is a question if the Yankees are going to offer the most money. Now, you're right. Maybe he does take less money. Maybe he says, "How I love it here so much. Just give me a comparable number and I'm going to be here." That could happen.
I'm not saying that, by the way. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is that the Yankees will do what they have to do to keep him. So, I've never once thought that he's going to leave a ton of money on the table.
Right.
I think that's a little bit of a pipe dream.
Well, but that's Sherrod. That's what he's...
I can see why people think that. Yeah, you get in the lure. I'm not thinking that. Well, this guy's a bottom line. He wants every penny.
And he wants money. And if that's the case, it shouldn't prevent the Yankees from bringing him back.
I agree with you. Yep.
There are a lot of unknowns. We can think what's going to happen. Both you and I tend to think he's going to take the most money. Where we disagree is you think the Yankees are going to have the most money, or at least comparable to get him here.
I'm not sold on that.
I
get that. The biggest difference, you know, whether it's other teams. And by the way, let me just add this before I even finish that thought. We got a break too. But with the arrival, or if you will, of deferred payments now, like the creativity, the ability for the Yankees financial gurus to sit down and construct something that says, there's no way I can leave this man.
Right.
If they can't do that, it is the most colossal fail that I've ever seen from the Yankees. Like, there's a million ways to skin this cat. You make sure he stays.
And that's kind of the point. Forget about what the team would look like or how they would have to build it without Juan Soto. They're in a spot now. He's put the New York Yankees into a corner. They were already kind of there, but because he's been so great, he has put them into a corner where they have no choice. Regardless of what the price is, they have to pay it to make sure they retain Juan Soto.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed. 4 seconds left. The Giants have won Super Bowl 25 by the score of 20-19.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Now, even with the 3 home runs from Juan Soto last night, BT, the Yankees hanging on for dear life to hold off the White Sox yet again. They won, and that's all that matters. Mm. But still, I mean, it has not been pretty for the Yanks. And the biggest news of the day yesterday was Jazz. And the fact that, you know, he's potentially looking at surgery here.
Yep.
Dude, I mean.
It's a tough one,
man. They can't catch a break.
I actually thought he hurt his knee. If you go back to the play prior to where he actually got hurt, going head first into home. Yeah.
Right.
The play at third, it looked like he jammed his knee in the bag. And then I'm like, because everybody says you shouldn't slide head first. But these, you know, you break a finger, you hurt UCL. And he actually went feet first, and he actually tweaked his knee for a second. And then he shook that off, and then obviously... That was earlier in the game. And then, you know, later on, he wound up getting hurt at home. It changes a lot, but I don't know how grave it is. Like, I don't know that he's out for the... If it's UCL, which it is it torn?
Well, if he has to have surgery...
If it's torn, if it's surgery, he's done.
Yeah, right.
That's it.
But they said that's still a possibility.
I know. So that's obviously why you are very worried about this now. I do think that, you know, maybe it's the power of positivity. I would be surprised if it's, again, I want to stay in my lane, if it's torn to the point where he's got to have some sort of, you know, real deep repair, which would sit him down for the rest of the year. He actually thought he was going to play yesterday. Like, when he woke up, I guess he was texting with Boone at like 10 in the morning, he had the MRI at 10 in the morning, but when he went to bed, when he left the yard, and when he got up, I guess he was texting with some people, and he thought that he was okay to play. So, now sometimes that could be misleading. I'm sure McCarthy from the Vikings didn't think that he was going to miss a couple of months with the meniscus, and here he is, he's missing a couple of months with the meniscus. So you never really do know. If it's a few weeks, not a big deal. If it's the season, it is massive. If it's the season, I think it changes everything that the Yankees could do.
Well, think about this. We talked about this before the trade deadline. Now, I still didn't think the Yankees did enough. I know you were more excited about the Jazz move. It wasn't that I wasn't excited about the Jazz move. It was that I didn't think that that was enough to fix what I believe are some serious issues with the Yankees. Now, look, there are questions about other teams that have major issues. Sure, all that stuff. But just watching this team that was one of the worst teams in baseball for 7 weeks, I thought they needed more than Jazz Chisholm and Mark Leiter. And if you take Jazz out of that equation... Well, I thought they needed more to begin with. If you take Jazz out, you know, Dominguez can't play third. And that's a problem. So you're going to be looking at what? More LeMahieu? More Ben Rice? You're relying heavily on
Birdie. Rizzo. I mean, I know Birdie's coming back, who I kind of like, but he's not Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
So now you'd be losing there where you upgraded. Like, the Yankees didn't upgrade the infield enough. Now you'd be losing in that infield if you lose.
It's basically like they did nothing at that point. Right. Like, if Jazz Chisholm's gone for the year, if you're realistic about this Yankees team, even though they won last night and Soto was amazing with three bombs, and they've been playing well recently outside of the bad game in Chicago the other night. I mean, the Yankees were exhibiting issues every single time they took the baseball field. They looked broken. And, you know, Jazz Chisholm's presence from the first game he played up in Boston on Sunday night when he stole third and he scratched out a run, and then he had a couple of bombs early on, and he's basically hitting 315, 320.
His energy, his smile,
everything.
Infectious.
The whole deal, Sal. Yeah. Now you remove that, they are basically back to being the team that we were all complaining about.
You know, and we say the Yanks have been playing much better, and I think it feels like that, and they are playing better.
Yeah, did I say much? Well, I meant better.
But I do
not think, much better. They weren't great against the Rangers.
Six and four in their last 10.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
But I think 5 out of 6, right?
No, it's better than...
Is it 5 out of 6, 6 out of 7, whatever it is?
They beat Texas 2 out of 3.
Yeah,
And they split with the White Sox. Who was before that? I forget.
I'm forgetting too off the top of my head.
Point is, it's not like the Yankees have completely turned it around or are dominating again. They're just not the worst or second to worst team in baseball. So they've been playing better. Actually, we should go back and look at their record since the All-Star.
Meanwhile, the Orioles lost us. The Yankees are in first place in the division.
Yeah, exactly, by half game. And the Orioles are... I mean, the Orioles have their
own mess.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we focus on the teams here and nitpick to extremes. And to the Yankees' credit, like, they look at it and say, hey, we'll take our chance with our roster. We're as good as anybody else. Okay, then fine. Now they have to go out there and do it in the postseason. But I didn't think they did enough at the trade deadline. And I also don't think they've been playing some great baseball. I always felt that it's going to be the guys from within, whether it's Austin Wells, whether it's Gleyber Torres, whoever you want, or Stanton staying healthy or producing, or Dominguez coming up. Volpe being consistent or productive at the right time even. Okay, you don't have to be consistent, but just get hot for a few weeks in October. If Volpe plays at his peak for a few weeks in October, the Yankees are going
to
be great.
Especially if they have Jazz. You know, I was looking at him. He was going up to bat last night, and yes, obviously he puts up the stats for everybody, 251, whatever it was at that point. And I'm like, man, like, if he was hitting 251, which he is, literally, but it was a 251 where it wasn't this high-low, and it was just a more consistent 250 with 20 steals, and, you know, I know he's bobbled the ball a little bit lately, but again, you know, pretty much airtight defense, gold glove defense. I think I'd feel a lot better about Volpe's, not only his season, but maybe even what he could be in the future. Like, think about that. If he hit... Like, it's the erratic nature. Like, he disappears for a month, and then he looks like an all-star for a month. It's weird.
Right. You can't have that inconsistency.
It's a weird 250.
It is a very weird 250. He's had a weird start to his career.
Yeah.
At times looks like a superstar. Other times looks like he doesn't belong in a big league. So, or at least the numbers say that. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Before we get back to the calls here, we're talking about Juan Soto and the fact that the Yankees need to keep him just for housekeeping here, BT.
Yep.
After taking care of the Red Sox, the final two games of that series in Fenway, sweeping away the Phillies, they won 2 of 3 from the Blue Jays, lost 2 of 3 to the Angels, won 2 of 3 from the Rangers, and have now split the first two with the White Sox.
Oh, there you go. That's right. So, I forgot about that Blue Jays series. Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
they're playing
series, which is fine. They're also playing teams that stink.
Like,
can the Yankees sweep one of these series? Can they go on a run? So, again, they took advantage of the Phillies and Red Sox, and that was their, okay, they're back. They won 5 games. Everybody overreacting to that after looking like one of the worst teams in baseball, getting swept by the Mets. Remember, like, it's not that long ago that they got swept by the Mets.
Yep.
And the only addition that they made, aside from getting Stanton back healthy, the only addition they made was Jazz. And if he's out now, you know, who knows what could happen
and
here with this lineup.
I'm not overreacting to Cortez's start last night. Yeah. I mean, the White Sox, despite what happened 2 nights ago, they are absolutely pathetic. They are just a putrid outfit. Cortez, to me, I don't trust him at all. I'm rooting for him. He's an easy guy to root for. Don't trust him.
BT and Sal on the Fan. George is in Long Beach. What's up, George?
Georgie.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, George?
Hey, bud.
BT, you made a point earlier in the show that
the Yankees, like, you can't blame the Yankees if they give them the blank check and match whatever the highest offer is.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Juan Soto, of course. But I think you can blame the Yankees, and it goes back to the trade deadline, because what's this team's biggest hole?
Closer. And they weren't willing to give up prospects like Spencer Jones to go all in this year.
Mm-hmm. I think Juan Soto sees that. And he's going to be like, okay, these guys, like, they're just running a business. Like, they're not, they're not trying to go all the way.
I can't say that you're wrong. I don't feel that way, though. I really don't. I mean, because it's about the totality of the experience. Now, again, when you isolate it to that, And other teams that could be in the market for Juan Soto, and I think we know who the 3, 4, 5 teams are. What other team made those power flexes that the Yankees did not? I don't know that anybody really crushed it. So I think when you win 98, 99, 100 games in that neighborhood, and you have Soto behind you, and you top two, top three MVP, you know, and you just put up all-time numbers, it's going to be hard to leave that, provided the money's there, which I think it will be.
Yeah, and for me personally, like maybe at the time, I knew it was a great move, but maybe I got caught too much up in the fact that Juan Soto was going to be a free agent. But think about the other teams that could have had him. Juan Soto was available.
Yeah.
And we've said it, and I know I said this at the time too, when a player like that becomes available, you do, if you're a well-run organization, if you care about winning or you care about your fan base at all, you do whatever it takes to get the player. I don't want to hear about the prospects. I don't want to hear about the future or where you're at. If a player like Juan Soto was available, you go out there and you make sure you do whatever you can to get him. And the Yankees did it. And they deserve a ton of credit for that. I got caught up, I think, at the time in, well, yeah, Buddy's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you could have him for 1 year and it could be great. And obviously we're seeing it play out. And it is great, but that's why I'm saying they can't lose him. Because the move would have had much more impact, let's say, if Soto had 2 or 3 years under control, or
yeah,
if the Yankees signed him to a big extension immediately. It's always felt like he's here. Yes, he is a Yankee now, but he might not be for long. And I still have my reservations. Like, I don't think he's going to be a Yankee.
Until he signs the contract, right. I can see why he would have that. It's funny. I watch the Yankees every night. I don't feel like it's a rental. You know, maybe that's just me finding a way to enjoy the season and not look too far down the road. The only thing that I would disagree with about the Soto and the other teams that had access, and well, I mean, every team had access to him, I don't think it made a lot of sense for fringe teams. Teams that were 500-ish to really give up so much for a rental.
Right.
I think you had to already be a good team.
What about Baltimore?
Oh, yeah, no, it would have made sense for Baltimore, for sure.
Yeah, forget the fringe team.
Yeah, it would have made sense for Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're, but you also,
I don't think it would have made sense for the Mets.
Right, but
at that point.
But a part of it is the Yankees wanting to get him in here now. And not worry about, we'll worry about the free agency when it happens. Let's get him in here now and have him get a taste of this. You talk about that all the time. And now he's had that. Well, the Yankees, you know, instead of teams saying, well, we're not going to give up the prospects and we can wait till he hits free agency.
Yep.
The Yankees said, you know what? We're going to get him in here now. If he walks, he walks. But we want him to be a Yankee now, get a little taste of it, and hopefully we could retain him.
But do you think that would have been a sound philosophy for, say, now I think the Royals are a little bit better than people thought that they'd be this year, but for the Guardians who have a ton of wins, but probably, listen, they're not coming up with the money to keep them.
Like
you had to have the resources to keep them if you enticed them to stay
in
the first place.
I don't know about that. I think
what do you mean?
To me, I wouldn't, if I'm the Orioles or whoever, the Guardians, I'm not worrying about beyond. Like the Yankees, I think, is a different story. It's New York, and now you're seeing like they cannot lose him because the fans would just be devastated with that. But why not take advantage of an opportunity to get a player of his caliber when you can't get that otherwise? Like even more so for teams that can't afford it because they're never going to have that opportunity.
I would say that I hear you. I do. The only thing is, if it's not a realistic expectation that you can keep him.
But you can win a World Series like the Guardians.
Well, but that's why I asked who was. Like if it's the Royals or the Orioles, that's different. Even though the Royals could be a playoff team, that's different to me. If it's the, not the Marlins, and he was already a National. Honestly, even the Mets. You know, if it was the Mets or the Giants or not even a bottom feeder like the Rockies. Like, I think you had to be at a certain level for me, you know, to justify not knowing if he'd stay and give up 3, 4, 5 prospects if you don't know that you could even afford him or he'd want to stay in that market.
Yeah, for me, if a player like that becomes available, you just got to go out there and get him.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Point of the game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326, and you'll receive 2 pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station from New York Yankees Baseball The Fan. BT and Sal on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Andy Martino tweeted BT about a half hour ago. Yankees and doctors are still in the process of gathering info to determine if Jazz Chisholm will need UCL surgery. So it's, I mean, we'll probably have an answer, I would think, before we get off the air. But at some point today.
Today. We'll know today.
If he needs surgery or not. Now, obviously, there's a clear, hey, if he doesn't need it, exhale. He'll be back, you would think, at some point before the postseason. Mm-hmm. If he does need it, the Yanks are, it's unbelievable.
It's a big blow.
They have had, now you could say that they haven't gotten the right players at the trade deadlines over the years, but they have also had some bad luck, whether it's Benintendi getting hurt when they made the trade for him. Obviously, Frankie Montas. Now F-Russ. Jazz, we haven't even seen him. Where's he been?
I have no idea.
Is this a Cashman thing, just getting hurt players? No, I mean, because Jazz is a freak thing. Yeah. Even Benintendi, I feel like, what was it, the wrist he had an issue
with? Yes, hurt his wrist, yeah. I mean, he wasn't playing particularly well, no, but he got he's on the White Sox. He's hitting like 215. Rizzo's been hurt a couple times.
Yeah. I mean,
concussion, the back.
The deadline acquisitions that the Yankees have made, I mean, when you make those moves, that's it. You fire your salvo, and especially if it's only one of them. You need the guy to stay healthy.
Be nice.
Oh, man, that would be a bad blow for the Yankees. You mentioned Cortez real quick. We'll get back to the calls. You have no confidence that this could turn him around a little bit?
Nah, I mean, I don't think he's got very good stuff. I just don't. There's just too much evidence here. I always say it because I truly mean it. Like, you know, he's a nibbler. He's a crafty guy. He's bounced around. He's persevered. And I truly respect that. It has not been an easy path. Like, Cortez didn't grow up, you know, throwing 98 and having everybody, you know, fawn over his amazing pitching talents. He really had to carve out a real approach just to get to this level and stay here. So
he's a pitcher.
I love that. Yeah. I don't trust him, though. I mean, this White Sox team, he looked good. Like, he was hitting spots last night, and he changed his approach a little bit.
9 Ks.
I know.
It was a great start.
Yeah, no doubt. But he was also, his batting average against the last six starts was .360. And right. I don't forget that. And right. I've been saying for a while, you know this.
No, I know.
I don't trust him.
Even going back to the beginning of the year.
Going into the season, I said it.
I don't know if I could say that I trust him, but what I would say is, and I don't know if I love the idea of him out of the bullpen either, I feel like I trust him to be a gamer and pitch and get outs in the postseason to keep you in a spot to win a game.
I can respect that statement because we even saw it opening day against the Astros. Remember that? He was very wobbly early on, and then he kind of grinded it out a little bit. I know what you mean.
Like he's the exact opposite of Rodon.
When things go awry,
Rodon's got all the stuff in the world.
Yeah.
He's as nasty as can be. His stuff you could put up against anybody in the game, but yet it's like, once things start to go south, he doesn't. And I know he's done a little bit better job here lately.
Yeah, last five starts, very good.
But I wish he had the competitive nature or the mental side of things the way that Cortez does.
I think he's competitive. I just don't think he's got the mind of like Cortez. Okay. I think that, and maybe that just goes back to, you know, when you are blessed with a lightning bolt of an arm. And I'm not saying that, you know, I mean some flamethrowers are definitely thinkers. Yeah. But maybe you just rely on stuff rather than, you know, guile and thought and placement, and eventually kind of catch it up with you a little bit.
All right, let's get back to the phone. Jim is in Bordentown. What's up, Jim?
Jimmy.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
So I'm going to preface this by saying the Yankees can absolutely win a World Series. In today's baseball, it's just a matter of getting hot. So I'm not unrealistic about this whole thing. But as a 36-year-old Yankee fan, having grown up in the 90s, and you can call me spoiled, to think that we're at a point where we're hoping that Birdie comes back and that Ben Rice can hit a little bit and that Torres can be decent and Volpe doesn't drop balls in the infield. Like, the roster is just masked by having two of the best players on the planet hitting back-to-back. And it's been an issue the entire year.
Correct.
Sure, could they all show up at the right time? Absolutely, it's baseball. But I wouldn't put my eggs in that basket. And then you look, like, why is the Martian not up here? And why is Verdugo getting all of these chances? And how many times can Boone just say it's right in front of us when it really isn't? Like I'm saying, yes, they can win, but it just doesn't feel like it's an obtainable goal with the roster that's been constructed. And if you let Soto walk at the end of this year, what are you left with? What are you going to do there, Jim?
Yeah, there's five different points. You know, listen, Boone, I'll call it Boone speak. you know, Boone speak gets a little, tiresome.
But it is all there in front of him.
That's what I was going to say. Right. It's not like he's lying.
Right.
I mean, if they're 17 games out with, you know, 15 to play, guess what? Season's over.
And they're in first place in the American League.
Yeah, I know we react to sound bites. I know that Boone has been a little bit too, at least in terms of what he puts out for public consumption, a little too accepting of lackadaisical play from Torres and some other situations. And, you know, he's definitely a player's coach, which is not a bad thing until it is on occasion. But I don't think Boone's a real issue. I do think your point about the two superstars masking a lot of deficiencies, that's been my biggest gripe with Cashman right there. He nailed it. I've said that forever.
And that's why I'm with Jim. I can't put my eggs in that basket. I've seen too many flaws. I've seen too much bad. Yes, the good looks great, looks unbeatable. And yes, their record and run differential, all those different things. Soto, Judge, best two players I've ever seen in the same lineup at the same time. Judge, best player I've ever seen in my life. Soto's getting there. But their team overall, I'm not overlooking Glaber anymore. I know he's going to make a miscue or two to cost them in the postseason. I've seen this team fail to be able to drive runners in key situations beyond Judge and Soto. Mm-hmm. I've seen Judge fail in the postseason. The starters I don't trust, the bullpen I don't trust. Glaber, there are a lot of flaws there. Could they still win it? Everything's in front of them? Absolutely. Would I bank on it, put my eggs in that basket? I can't do that.
Let me simplify it. We sit here and we wonder what the Yankees can do in a couple of months, if they can win it all. And, you know, you talk about their first baseman. All right, cute little story. Grew up a Red Sox fan, hit a bunch of home runs against him. All right, maybe Rice is good down the road right now. Whatever. Rizzo coming back at some point. Do you really care? I don't. Everybody can't wait for the second baseman to be gone.
Right.
We love Volpe because what he's shown has been galvanizing for the future, but he's also been way too erratic, just to be real. And then up until a week ago, we didn't have a third baseman.
Yeah.
I mean, so anything, any criticisms levied against the construction of the roster, their ability to win the World Series, those are all on point. I don't think anybody's sitting here saying the Yankees are perfect. They are very, very imperfect. But what I've always said is, so is everybody else.
Right.
So it gives them a puncher's chance.
Right. All things that we say there can be true. Both things can be true. They're flawed. They have some issues. But they still are right there and have as good a chance as anybody. When we come back, we'll get to the Mets side of things. Not just their loss last night, but something that they have to do this offseason. BT and Sal on the Fan. Got to go out there and get him.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It is time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's Turning Point of the Game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326, and you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station from New York Yankees Baseball, The Fan. BT and Sal on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Andy Martino tweeted BT about a half hour ago, Yankees and doctors are still in the process of gathering info to determine if Jazz Chisholm will need UCL surgery. So we'll probably have an answer, I would think, before we get off the air. But at some point today.
Today. We'll know today.
If he needs surgery or not. Now, obviously, there's a clear, if he doesn't need it, exhale. He'll be back, you would think, at some point before the postseason. Mm-hmm. If he does need it, the Yanks are. It's unbelievable.
It's a big blow.
They have had. Now, you could say that they haven't gotten the right players at the trade deadlines over the years, but they have also had some bad luck, whether it's Ben Attendee getting hurt. When they made the trade for him, obviously Frankie Montas. Now F-Russ. Jazz. We haven't even seen him. Where's he been?
I have no idea.
Is this a Cashman thing, just getting hurt players? No, because Jazz is a freak thing.
Yeah.
Even Ben Attendee, I feel like, what was it, the wrist he had an issue
with? Yes, hurt his wrist, yeah. I mean, he wasn't playing particularly well,
no, but
he got
right.
Yeah, he's on the White Sox. He's hitting like 215. Rizzo's been hurt a couple times.
Yeah, I mean,
the concussion, the back.
The deadline acquisitions that the Yankees have made, I mean, when you make those moves, that's it. You fire your salvo, and especially if it's only one of them, you need the guy to stay healthy.
Be nice.
Oh, man, that would be a bad blow for the Yankees. You mentioned Cortez real quick. We'll get back to the calls. You have no confidence that this could turn him around a little bit?
Nah, I mean, I don't think he's got very good stuff. I just don't. There's just too much evidence here. I always say it because I truly mean it. Like, you know, he's a nibbler. He's a crafty guy. He's bounced around. He's persevered. And I truly respect that. It has not been an easy path. Like, Cortez didn't grow up you know, throwing 98 and having everybody, you know, fawn over his amazing pitching talents. He really had to carve out a real approach just to get to this level and stay here. So
he's a pitcher.
I love that. Yeah. I don't trust him, though. I mean, this White Sox team, he looked good. Like, he was hitting spots last night, and he changed his approach a little bit.
9 Ks.
Yeah, I know.
It was a great start.
Yeah, no doubt. But he was also, his batting average against the last six starts was .360. And right. I don't forget that. And right. I've been saying for a while, you know this.
No, I know.
I don't trust him.
Even going back to the beginning of the year.
Going into the season, I said it.
I don't know if I could say that I trust him, but what I would say is, and I don't know if I love the idea of him out of the bullpen either. I feel like I trust him to be a gamer and pitch and get outs in the postseason to keep you in a spot to win a game.
I can respect that statement because we even saw it opening day against the Astros. Remember that? He was very wobbly early on, and then he kind of grinded it out a little bit. I know what you mean.
Like he's the exact opposite of Rodon.
When things go awry,
Rodon's got all the stuff in the world.
Yeah.
He's as nasty as can be. His stuff you could put up against anybody in the game, but yet it's like, once things start to go south, he doesn't. And I know he's done a little bit better job here lately.
Yeah, last five starts, very good.
But I wish he had the competitive nature or the mental side of things the way that Cortez does.
I think he's competitive. I just don't think he's got the mind of like Cortez. Okay. I think that, and maybe that just goes back to, you know, when you are blessed with a lightning bolt of an arm. And I'm not saying that, you know, I mean some flamethrowers are definitely thinkers. Yeah. But maybe you just rely on stuff rather than, you know, guile and thought and placement, and eventually kind of catch it up with you a little bit.
All right, let's get back to the phone. Jim is in Bordentown. What's up, Jim?
Jimmy!
How are you guys doing?
Great.
So I'm going to preface this by saying the Yankees can absolutely win a World Series, and today's baseball is just a matter of getting hot. So I'm not unrealistic about this whole thing. But as a 36-year-old Yankee fan, having grown up in the 90s, and you can call me spoiled, to think that we're at a point where we're hoping that Birdie comes back and that Ben Rice can hit a little bit and that Torres can be decent and Volpe doesn't drop balls in the infield. Like, the roster is just masked by having two of the best players on the planet hitting back-to-back. And it's been an issue the entire year.
Correct.
Sure, could they all show up at the right time? Absolutely, it's baseball. But I wouldn't put my eggs in that basket. And then you look, like, why is the Martian not up here? And why is Verdugo getting all of these chances? And how many times can Boone just say it's right in front of us when it really isn't? Like I'm saying, yes, they can win, but it just doesn't feel like it's an obtainable goal with the roster that's been constructed. And if you let Soto walk at the end of this year, what are you left with? What are you going to do there, Jim?
Yeah, there's five different points. You know, listen, Boone, I'll call it Boone speak. You know, Boone speak gets a little tiresome.
But it is all there in front of him.
That's what I was going to say. Right. It's not like he's lying. Right. I mean, if they're 17 games out with, you know, 15 to play, guess what? Season's over.
And they're in first place in the American League.
Yeah, I know we react to sound bites. I know that Boone has been a little bit too, at least in terms of what he puts out for public consumption, a little too accepting of lackadaisical play from Torres and some other situations. And you know, he's definitely a player's coach, which is not a bad thing until it is on occasion. But I don't think Boone's a real issue. I do think your point about the two superstars masking a lot of deficiencies, that's been my biggest gripe with Cashman right there. He nailed it. I've said that forever.
And that's why I'm with Jim. I can't put my eggs in that basket. I've seen too many flaws. I've seen too much bad. Yes, the good looks great, looks unbeatable. And yes, their record and run differential, all those different things. Soto, Judge, best two players I've ever seen in the same lineup at the same time. Judge, best player I've ever seen in my life. Soto's getting there. But their team overall, I'm not overlooking Glaber anymore. I know he's going to make a miscue or two to cost them in the postseason. I've seen this team fail to be able to drive runners in key situations beyond Judge and Soto. Mm-hmm. I've seen Judge fail in the postseason. The starters I don't trust. The bullpen I don't trust. Glaber, there are a lot of flaws there. Could they still win it? Everything's in front of them? Absolutely. Would I bank on it, put my eggs in that basket? I can't do that.
Let me simplify it. We sit here and we wonder what the Yankees can do in a couple of months, if they can win it all. And, you know, you talk about their first baseman. All right, cute little story. Grew up a Red Sox fan, hit a bunch of home runs against him. All right, maybe Rice is good down the road right now. Whatever. Rizzo coming back at some point. Do you really care? I don't. Everybody can't wait for the second baseman to be gone.
Right.
We love Volpe because what he's shown has been galvanizing for the future, but he's also been way too erratic, just to be real. And then up until a week ago, we didn't have a third baseman.
Yeah.
I mean, so anything, any criticisms levied against the construction of the roster, their ability to win the World Series, those are all on point. I don't think anybody's sitting here saying the Yankees are perfect. They are very, very imperfect. But what I've always said is, so is everybody else.
Right.
So it gives them a puncher's chance.
Right. All things that we say there can be true. Both things can be true. They're flawed. They have some issues. But they still are right there and have as good a chance as anybody. When we come back, we'll get to the Mets side of things. Not just their loss last night, but something that they have to do this offseason. BT and Sal on the Fan.